dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel inching closer to finalizing a ceasefire deal with Lebanon and Hezbollah. Israel's prime minister in a video message says after meeting with his security cabinet, he's supporting the U.S. brokered ceasefire deal. The full cabinet still has to vote. It calls for a 60-day pause in fighting. Israel would withdraw troops from Lebanon and Hezbollah would fall back from the northern Israeli border. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge has more.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that Israel can now focus on the threat of Iran. Of course, Hezbollah is an Iranian proxy, but he says that Hezbollah in his address has effectively been greatly diminished over the last few months of fighting.
Today is one of the busiest air travel days of this Thanksgiving getaway period. The FAA warning travelers in the Northeast. Major airports in New York City and Philadelphia are dealing with a shortage of air traffic controllers, and that could cause delays. Weather could also throw a wrench into travel plans. Storms are impacting both coasts. This is ABC News. An FBI special agent is accused of sexual assault in Maryland. Eduardo Valdivia is being held without bond. Montgomery County police say he used a tattoo studio to allegedly lure women with the promise of modeling contracts. Authorities say the two victims did not know he was with the FBI. In Florida, police are charging a man with murder on a golf course.
Witnesses heard the victim say, "He's trying to kill me," according to the police affidavit. Charged with the man's death at the Sand Hill Cranes Golf Course in Florida's Palm Beach Gardens is Junior Boucher, 36, who appeared before a judge Tuesday. Police say the two men fought on the course, both fell to the ground, and a witness says one hit the other in the head with a golf club, found dead near the first hole.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. A new rule from the U.S. health officials aims to help speed up organ transplants. It allows people with HIV to donate kidneys or livers to a recipient who also has HIV. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The giveaways go all day at JCPenney's best Black Friday ever. Giveaways start at 5 a.m. with holiday snow globes and coupons. You could get up to $500 off. 9 a.m. is your chance to bring home a Cuisinart stand mixer. Plus, don't miss your shot at free diamonds at 1 p.m. Finally, at 5 p.m., grab a JCPenney tote. It gets you an extra 10% off every time you shop through Christmas Eve. JCPenney, make it count. Offers valid 11/29 while supplies last. Giveaways in-store only. Must be 18 or older. Deals excluded from coupons. See store or jcp.com for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. A Nina man will spend the rest of his life in prison for the murder of a transgender woman in Milwaukee. Judge David Swanson sentenced 34-year-old Cordell Housie on Monday. A jury convicted him earlier this year for the death of 31-year-old Cache Henderson.
I would characterize your killing of Ms. Henderson as an execution. The facts show that she was shot in the back of the head.
Swanson cited Housie's previous criminal record and the need to keep the community safe in passing sentence.
The court does order a life sentence as required by law. So the sentence is life imprisonment, and the court finds that and orders that you are not eligible for release to extended supervision.
Henderson was fatally shot in her apartment in February of 2023, and her body was set on fire. A series of suspicious fires in one northwest Wisconsin county.
The latest was just before 5 a.m. Saturday and did extensive damage to DJ's Mart in the Sawyer County village of Radisson, the gas station described on social media as a hub of the community. Agents with the State Division of Criminal Investigation are assisting the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office to investigate the Radisson fire and three others, which took place in the early morning hours a week ago Monday. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Mississippi man gets prison time for assaulting a foster child from Wisconsin.
38-year-old Reginald White was sentenced Friday to 8.5 years in federal prison. Wright came to Wisconsin in 2023, picked up an underage girl from her foster home in Madison, and sexually assaulted her multiple times. Police were able to rescue the victim while she was on a bus headed to Atlanta. Federal Judge William Conley told Wright at sentencing he made a, quote, sordid decision and dealt serious trauma to a vulnerable child. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time, lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine breaks through. Feisty winds, though, out of the northwest, calming down by tonight. It's still slapping a wind chill on top of our highs, only climbing to the upper 20s. So we slide to the teens tonight. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with highs remaining below freezing. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways and holiday fun. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 27.
Mixed day in the grain markets. Wheat was slightly higher, soybeans mixed, and corn futures traded to new for the move lows. Lean hog futures chase sellers out of the market. Live cattle looking for direction. And feeder cattle futures close sharply higher on supply side concerns.
Live! Hey, I've got $5 or $6. Turkey burger and...
Yeah.
Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Dave Delaney from Partners for Production Ag and EverAg. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, this is the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Hey, glad that you are with us on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Man, we're zeroing right in on it, aren't we?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, 2 days away. That's why they call it Tuesday. Most people don't know that.
2 days away,
yeah,
yes.
It's 2 days away from Thanksgiving.
Right, right. I get it. I hear what you're saying. It's all good.
That's how I always remember
it. It's all good.
You betcha.
Yeah. You know, it's chilly up here. It's not a bad day out there. But we are sitting here with temperatures at 37 degrees, and we are headed to colder temperatures as we make our way through Thanksgiving and into the weekend. So,
I dare say,
enjoy it while we've got it.
Yeah. I would say that. Yeah. It was chilly here today, low 40s for most of the morning. It may still be. I don't even know. But I'm sitting. I'm sitting here minding my own business. We're taping an episode of the Grow Getters podcast, which everybody loves so much. They love it so much. They can't get enough of the Grow Getters podcast. They look for it on YouTube is what they do. My computer usually has the temperature down in the bottom right corner. It changed from temperature, and it simply said temperatures to drop.
I'm still trying to recover. Flashing in red or anything
blue.
Like that?
Blue, actually.
Right.
Big red down arrow. I don't know what that means.
Look out. Well, it means that it's going to get cold. This is exactly what it means. All right, we've got Dave Delaney coming up today. We're going to talk about what's going on in the livestock trade. We'll get some perspective on what's happening in the grain markets from Brian Split here in just a moment. But let's go ahead and get to the markets, Davis.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, wheat futures trimmed mid-morning gains and still managed to hold on to slightly higher closes. That strength came despite strength in the U.S. dollar index and improvement in USDA's winter wheat crop ratings. On Pro Farmers Crop Condition Index, HRW conditions jumped 19.1 points to 339.3, and SRW crop ratings increased 8.1 points to 379.5. This was the final condition update of the fall for winter wheat crop conditions. March soft red winter wheat futures opened fractionally higher in low range and then spiked resistance at 560 before setting back to a mid-range close. March SRW posted an inside trading day, suggesting more sideways price action ahead. March hard red winter wheat futures 1¾ cents higher at 558¾. March soft red wheat up 2¼ cents to 558. It looks like we've got December, let's go March, spring wheat, up a nickel today, 601½ at the close there, Chip.
Yeah, exactly. Finally got that market settled there. It was a pretty decent price performance in the wheat market based, or I should say, compared to how the market has been trading here recently. The dollar was higher, but wheat went to the upside. It's kind of a confusing trade right now. We'll talk with Dave about that a little bit as we make our way through the end of the show.
Well, Jeff, March corn futures closed lower and posted a close below the opening range for a fourth consecutive session. The close below 430 in March futures points to a test of support at the October 31 low of 423¼. Export demand for U.S. corn has been good. And South Korea overnight reportedly purchased nearly 200,000 metric tons of optional origin corn. The U.S. is expected to get at least some of that business. Price pressure on corn was a result of U.S. dollar strength and the lack of a crop threat in Brazil and Argentina. March corn futures today a nickel lower, 428. May corn down 4½ cents to 435¼. July corn futures closed at 438¾, down 4¼ cents. It just continues to drag lower, Chip.
Yeah, and I don't like it when we string together these days with the closes below the opening range. That's what we're doing is we're building downside momentum, and it goes both ways, but here we are working things up to the downside right now.
Well, Chip, the potential initiation of tariffs on day one of the Trump administration pressured the soy complex. January bean futures gapped lower and then spiked support at 980 before rallying to fill the gap and closing mid-range. Soybean meal traded lower on the lack of a crop concern in Argentina, and that pulled bean prices to the downside. Pro Farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor also increased his Brazilian soybean crop estimate 2 million metric tons to 168 million. Strong gains in bean oil futures helped to limit selling in bean prices. Jan beans today 2¼ cents lower at 983½. March beans down 0.25 cents, 994. July beans closed at 10.21½. That's up 1¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, roll reversal in the products. January bean oil today up 138 points, 42.71. January bean meal down $4.50, 291.40.
Well, March cotton today was 4 points lower, 71.68. On your livestock's follow-through buying to yesterday's gains helped feeder cattle move higher as traders factor in restricted imports of cattle from Mexico. Jan feeders posted an inside trading day with the session low open and a high range close. Dease fat cattle 40 cents higher, 186.90. Jan feeders 262½ higher on the day at 258.10. And looking over at the snout side, December lean hog futures $1.12½ higher on the day, 83.10. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, agmarket.net. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, fantastic, Chip. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Hey. Thank you. And back at you, too. Looks like the sellers kind of retook control of the corn market today, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, when we talked a couple weeks ago, we were concerned about that potential double top on the December corn contract. We had had the high in early October at 434¼. We made the high on the November WASDE report with lower yield. That was at 434¾. And we just weren't able to get through that. So today we took out what would be the short-term uptrend, and that would be from mid-October all the way across all these lows that we've made for the last really month. Now, the March contract is going to be front month for volume and open interest. That took out its uptrend as well. And so we have a little bit of a short-term technical breakdown, but in the big picture, we are still in what I would call an upward trending channel. That comes from the contract lows made in August to the lows made in October. And that trend line comes in about 422. So, you know, the market hasn't broken down below the uptrend from the contract lows. That is still holding. But the concern is now that the December options are gone, and there was a lot of them that expired, right? All the $4 puts, the 410s, the 420s. If the producer did not replace those with something else in March or in May or in July, there may be a lot of bushels in old crop that don't have coverage under it, and that leaves those pretty vulnerable. So we'll see. I just don't know if the funds are going to maintain this long position with their with short beans, short meal, short wheat, and the long corn.
It would be nice to see some kind of strength in this market heading into what essentially is going to be a long, long weekend, but we'll see how it goes. Brian, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you very much, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Likewise, Chip. Thanks.
All right. Brian Split, agmarket.net. We've got Dave Delaney up next.
Achieving excellence isn't easy. It's reserved for those willing to work for it. Farmers like you, who strive for bigger yields and better education. People who settle for nothing less than the very best. Because you know excellence can only be achieved through hard work, commitment, and perseverance. Take your operation to new heights and join us for the 2025 Commodity Classic, Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Want to get smarter and
the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. This corn market, doggone it, just is the pressure is becoming more and more persistent, and And today's close and the structure in that market, we're actually accelerating the move to the downside right now. Need to find some buyers. Need to find some buyers in there. And speaking of finding buyers, good grief, Dave, they must have known that I was going to have you on to talk about what's going on in this hog trade today, because we had a really nice move in the hog market to the upside. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. Good afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Dave Delaney, Partners in Production Agriculture by EverAg. It's good to talk to you again. Okay. So what happened today? Where'd the strength come from?
So likewise, Chip, good to be here. You know, I think it's as we look at the futures market today, it was definitely fun involvement. Certainly, as we saw that February take its big jump higher. We rolled a long roll, Chip, and these Feb didn't move but about a dollar. And look what happened today. So I think the funds are bullish. We've had the largest or second largest open interest in the hog complex, leaving December at its highs, and now they're rolling over to February, and we still got 50 or 60 some thousand contracts to clean up there. So they're all positive.
Yeah, what got the funds so excited about the long side of this market? I mean, count seasonally, the move that we've seen doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No, absolutely not. That's a very good question. Why did the funds jump in and get so bulled up when we had a third quarter hogs and pigs report that said we were going to have 4.8% more hogs in the heavies, 180s and up, and then 3.5% more in the next category? And guess what, Chip? They were right, because those numbers didn't come to fruition.
Right. Right. I want to talk more about that as we go here. One of the adages in the livestock trade is don't trade cattle by the charts, but you can trade hogs by the charts, can't you?
Yeah, and old adage, right? I'm an old guy, older than you are, but it's changed. And I'll be honest with you, there's times in this hog market where you hear the traders say, hey, it's all about the fundamentals, or hey, it's all about the funds. And I'll tell you what, I've not heard much about the fundamentals and heard a lot about the funds here in the last 30 days.
Well, they're winning. And when they're winning, they like to add to it, maintain and add to until they're proven wrong, right?
Absolutely. I just heard you and Davis talking about the corn market, and he was talking about their length in the corn side. Maybe they get spooked out of that. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, it takes a lot to move a fund wave, and they are staying on this bullish train as we head into calendar year 25 with February. Again, today was the real first divide or gap that we saw a real positive move there.
Yep. Okay, quarterly hogs and pigs reports. When we get them, one of the first things you got to do is you look at the base numbers to begin with, the primary numbers. But then you always got to go and you need to look at the revisions and see how history has changed compared to the previous expectations. When we get the next report in December, we're going to have to look back at this last H&P report and try to figure out where the hogs went, right?
Absolutely. And I think you're going to see that, right? December 23rd, I believe, Monday, we get our fourth quarter one, Chip. And absolutely, we're going to see some revisions. I kind of thought maybe there was going to be less as that big number. And let's face it, I don't think USDA had anybody fooled that there's going to be almost 5% more of those heavier pigs. And we're going to see a revision. I think what we saw maybe with health challenges and this time last year, Chip, we were talking about who was going to still be here and how many sows we were going to have, because we were talking about a heavy liquidation that really didn't come to fruition. So maybe we had some sows that were just out of productivity, that were waiting to get depopped. And there was guys that were vaccinating through some PRRS issues. So, and we had the largest pork producer in America that had a big PEDV hole. So I think some of those things combined got us to numbers that certainly didn't live up to where USDA had anticipated.
And there has been some liquidation of sows over the last 6 months, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It has slowed, but yes. Yes.
So
Smithfield being the bigger one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Smithfield being, well, do we say the biggest one or a bigger one?
Absolutely the biggest. Yeah. In reduction. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when you look at this hog market today, how does it compare to where you thought it was going to be? No, not where you thought it was going to be, to where the industry thought it was going to be 6 months ago, Dave.
I don't think anybody had $90 cash hogs on their bingo card in November, or dollar for cutout prices. So I would tell you, I think it's a very, very good surprise to a pork producing community that's right been on a downward trend of creating revenue. I mean, 2 years ago, 2023 was one of the worst years we've seen as far as returns back to the pork producer, $31 negative. So I don't think anybody saw this coming, Chip, but it's been certainly welcome. And I think, you know, we can talk about supply, lack of sows or reduction of sows, but I'll tell you, the demand piece really to me is what's kind of proven to be the winner here.
Yeah. Yeah. So does $100 cutout, $90 cash, did those two numbers line up for you?
No, absolutely not. Nope. I was more hoping we could be in the high 70s to maybe $80 in the cash and right around 90 in the cutout.
Okay. So the futures might be showing us something more of what you might expect under this pork market condition, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
We still, I think our DEES is still a little bit right deficit of where we sit on the index. I think we still got a little work to expire there, but I can tell you fundamentally the cash prices as we go into the end of the year feel pretty solid in this low to mid $80 range.
Okay. Talk to me about pork demand. We talk about beef demand all the time, Dave, because it just seems to, you know, be so impressive and so resilient. How's pork demand?
Demand is good. Let's talk about domestic demand, and then we'll kind of roll into the what we've seen and expect here on the export front. But domestic demand's been very good. We saw basically a belly market, Chip, that for most of the year was in a kind of very small range, very tight range. You know, recently here we popped those bellies up to $170 in the fall when generally guys are starting to, you know, try to get prices down and get some stuff in the freezer. Well, they haven't been able to do that. So you look at our latest cold storage report that came out yesterday. We got a very, very small amount of bellies in that freezer. So I think, again, the retail sector has been pushing pork through, right? Pork is the breakfast winner day in and day out, as we talk about not only in the home, but food service. And I think domestically that has proven very well for us. Export wise, I think we're going to round out the year probably just under 5% versus by volume year over year. But the good thing, this is a stat from our friends at USMEF, and without variety meat included, year to date, the value from 24 versus 23 is going to be up a little over 9%. So that's good as well.
Yeah. Okay. So all this talk about tariffs and connecting it to Mexico now, because Mexico is such a good market for U.S. pork, it's got to be a little unsettling.
Yeah. Again, right, Trump was 45. He's going to be 47. I think he's a different president, but I think what he is doing today is a lot of saber rattling and leverage for negotiations. I don't believe we'll see a U.S. pork producer or beef producer that, you know, formidably gets.
Yep. All right. That has to deal with that. Okay. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dave Delaney, Partners in Production Agriculture. We're going to get back to Dave, get his final thoughts there on how trade with Mexico might play out. Then we've got to do a little bit of price outlook and risk management in these hogs, and then we're going to try to get Dave's take on what's happening in cattle. That's next.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For March, HRW wheat futures were 1¾ cents higher at 558¾. March soft red wheat up 2¼ cents to 558. March corn futures were a nickel lower, 428 at the close. July corn futures closed at 438¾. That's down 4¼ cents. January soybean futures 2¼ cents lower today, 983½. March beans down 0.25 cents to 994. March cotton today 4 points lower, 71.68. On your livestock, December fat cattle were 40 cents higher at 186.90. January feeders $2.62½ higher at 258.10, and December lean hog futures $1.12½ higher at 83.10. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Quiet weather expected in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Plenty of sunshine throughout the day. Today we'll have highs low 30s. West winds at around 10. Tonight cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Lows near 18. Tomorrow sunshine, highs low 30s. And for Thanksgiving Day, cloudy, highs upper 20s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas Girls High School basketball tonight. The Lady Panthers are at McDonald's Central. The Advent Health Panther preview at 7. Tip off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
I think I'll take a moment to celebrate my age.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dave Delaney, Partners in Production Agriculture by EverAg. Dave, let's get to the price outlook here on the hogs. What can we keep this market? Do I call it outperforming, or yeah. Do I call it optimistic? Can we keep things going?
Yes, I believe as we talk, the rest of this calendar year, Chip, we're going to absolutely see that. And, it's good to have great resources on your team. We retired the great Dr. Steve Meyer, but now we have hired Dr. Lee Schultz. And I asked him for his price forecasts because he's certainly better than I am. I'm going to give you a gut feel, but I'll tell you my thoughts and then I'll tell you Lee's. I do believe end of the year we're going to cruise right into calendar year 25 with really, really good fundamental prices, both on the cash hog price as well as the cutout. As we get into Q1 of 25, I do believe I feel a little more supply. I think we could have a little bump in the road and maybe a little setback on the cutout from a demand standpoint. Generally, heart of the winter, February, we could see things soften up a little bit. But I'll just give you Lee's thoughts here for 2025 Q1, and this is Iowa, Minnesota, all producer sold net hogs. He's got us at 85, Q2, 93, Q3, 94. Q4 76 for an average of 87, which Chip is better than we're going to end up this year.
Right. Right. So with that kind of a price outlook and the structure of the futures market right now, the forward curve in there, what are you looking at for some risk management strategies?
Actually, we're requesting that our producers take a very hard look at what we call very good margin out there, like you said, in the forward curve. And yeah. we're certainly using tools that'll set a floor in. And if this thing wants to still be optimistic and run, they can participate to the upside. But Chip, after we've had, we talked a little earlier, 24 is going to end up just slightly red for returns from fair to finish to 23 being the worst year. We want them to get back on the right side of things and lock some floors in here at profitable levels. And again, if this wants to run better, we'll run with it.
Okay. 101 in that midsummer market. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely does. Yes. Yeah. Okay. You're looking at profit per head of, 40 plus. So yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right. Good. They need some black ink at the bottom of the page.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. I don't think we're going to see a lot of expansion as it, you talk about they need a lot of black ink. They do because it's been a rough couple years here. So yeah. I think we'll keep our sow herd in check and try to move forward.
Yeah. Yep. You know, there's one thing that we haven't even talked about. You kind of alluded to it when you talked about dealing with some disease issues. Every time we get a pullback in the number of sows, we get an increase in the number of saved pigs per litter, and they seem to at least offset each other.
Yes, that productivity number, if you look at the trend over the last, it's just been a, and Dr. Meyer talked about it, it's just been a straight shot upward. So these, we call them high performing genetics. They're like race cars. They just, they just outrun your expectation. And you keep a sow herd healthy, Chip, you can raise a lot of pigs. You're exactly right.
Yeah, you sure can. You sure can. Okay. Let's run through some of the outlook there on cattle now. What's your take on how the futures, live cattle futures, are trading in relation to what we're seeing in the cash market, both in cash cattle and beef?
Yeah. So a little different situation in the beef side. We saw a big announcement in the restriction for live animals coming across the border south to north from Mexico or transiting through Mexico coming to the U.S. So I think that's certainly positive. And we saw that in the feeder cattle futures here today. I do believe that as we talk about the fed cattle market, it's on solid ground. And, it feels like the demand for beef is strong and going to stay strong. As Chip, we're not yet keeping cows back to build this herd. So, I think the outlook for the cattle market is solid and solid through the end of the year and into the beginning of 25 as well.
Yeah, even when you look at the makeup of the calves in the feedlot right now, and then you throw on top of it the cow slaughter data and everything, we're just not seeing much of a hint of heifer retention at all, are we?
No, absolutely not. We're not. Actually, there was a USDA had put something out. Again, thanks to Dr. Schultz, he sent me this. But they don't look for this cow herd to start increasing till 27, 26 being the bottom at, just under 28 million beef calves. So, it's going to be a couple years yet.
Yeah, and when that happens, we should still expect one last push to the upside on beef as we take those heifers out of the slaughter mix, right?
Absolutely. That's when we'll see the biggest bang for our buck. The other thing that the cattle industry has done very well, we can't do it as much in the hog side as we, talked about hogs earlier, but we've seen these steer and heifer dress weights just go through the roof. Last week, I think we're at 960 on the steers and like 870 on the heifers. We just keep putting more pounds on those cattle because we have less of them. So
yeah, man, you talk about genetics in the hogs and what it does on the productivity side. When we look at the genetics in the beef, it's all about putting those extra pounds on that carcass right now. And then the beef on dairy genetics, Dave, that's a
wow,
an interesting shift in this whole beef market, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've seen it become very popular and growing. And I think, for our U.S. consumers and our export partners, as well as, we're going to see less exports just because we're going to have less beef here. But boy, the quality of those animals is certainly what the consumer is looking for. And that's going to grow. That beef on dairy is going to continue to grow.
Yep. Yep. The quality. And what the consumers are looking for. 10 years ago, Dave, if you would have told me that today's beef buyer, and I mean meat case beef buyer, I mean Walmart meat case beef buyer, would be as picky as what they are, I would have said there's no way. There's no way that will ever be. But here we are with 85% prime and choice on slaughter. Yes. It's crazy.
Yes, it is. I think the cattle industry, the cattle industry has done a very, very good job of keeping their customer coming to the meat case, like you said, because of the improved quality. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So risk management on cattle. What are your thoughts here?
Again, I think the same thing here, Chip, as we look at, we look at a cattle herd that we just talked about that's not going to grow. I think any way we can get around a break-even cost and, 2025 is looking a little bit red as we talk about returns to somebody that's putting yearling steers on. That first cost of those cattle is so devastating. We're getting a little help from the input side, but if we can sneak through a break even and leave ourselves some topside potential, if it's going to occur, that's what we want to do, and that's what certainly we are advising our customers.
Okay. All right. On the input sides, get some coverage on in feed needs.
We're actually being a little bit patient, especially if we talk about the hog side and the soybean meal side, right? Small part of the diet, but certainly, does have an impact on the cost to produce. When we talk about feed, we're very patient there. We're starting to do a little bit here on the corn side, as we both sides of the fence, whether it's be cattle or the swine side, we like these prices in here, but still, Chip, as we talk about going forward and talk about South America and the potential there and Russia and some other countries to create more viable crop ground. I think I heard Joe Kearns the other day say there's 70 million acres in South America that can be opened up with no problem. I think that's certainly, and the crop we saw here in the U.S., the weather models, we should continue to see robust amount of feed grains for our production partners.
Yeah, and if that's going to be the case, you might as well go more hand to mouth on your feed needs rather than getting some extended coverage in. But there's no, my opinion, there's never anything wrong with having a 30-day supply ready to go.
Absolutely. Good point. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I would agree. Yep. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Dave, this was fun, man. Thank you so much for making time. Sure appreciate you, man.
You bet. Anytime, Chip. Always a pleasure. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. You too. That is Dave Delaney, Partners in Production Agriculture by EverAg. And there was a mention of somebody that we used to have on AgriTalk fairly often. That was Lee Scholes from Iowa State over to EverAg here in the last few months. Okay, when we come back, I know Davis has got a couple of highlights that he wants to pull from that conversation. We can talk more about these livestock fundamentals coming up next here on AgriTalk.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Shop Dell Technologies' Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Guys, it's finally here. Wendy's new salted caramel frosty. It's cold, salted, yet perfectly sweet, delicious, and it's at the top of Santa's Christmas list. What? Santa has a list too, you know, and he's a huge salted caramel frosty fan. Probably why he's so jolly all the time. The iconic frosty with a salted caramel twist? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Salted caramel frosty flavored with other natural flavor.
Market.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
If there's something more you need to know, we'll let you know what you need to know. Right here on AgriTalk. That's what we do.
Or they could let us know what they need to know, and then we'll find out what they need to know and let them know what we know.
We can go about it that way, too. You know, we're just trying to keep everybody happy here, really, is what
That's
it is.
Right.
Because we know an awful lot of smart people, is the thing. How many of them will admit that they know us? Well, neither here nor there. I made a mention this morning of about holiday music, about Thanksgiving music.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
And I even played a little bit, you know, doing my part add some Thanksgiving specific holiday carols. And I got a call. He's on the road, so he couldn't be with us. But Scout the Farm Dog called up. Nice little chat.
Okay.
And he reminded me, you know. And listeners, if you don't know, Scout the Farm Dog's a little bit off. He's a reporter at Farm Dog Journal. He's okay. He's great, I guess. But
yeah. Oh yeah,
his whole thing is dead birds. Like dead birds. You know, for me, maybe a new guitar. Or, you know, who knows, for the wife, a nice bouquet of flowers. For Scout, you want to touch his heart, it's dead birds. And he did call to remind me that he had made a submission last year. So I think we're going to go ahead and roll that now. Here's Scout the Farm Dog.
The tablecloth is hanging low, and my best friend is gravity. Simply having a wonderful dead bird day. Simply having a wonderful dead bird day. The children spill the whole day long. They don't use napkins. Do 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 do. Simply having a wonderful dead bird day. Simply having
morning. Wonderful dead bird day. This is Scott the Farm Dog. Happy dead bird day, everybody.
A little holiday wish from Scout the Farm Dog.
Good boy.
A dog's eye view on Turkey Day.
Who is a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Scout the Farm Dog on assignment. Hard working little fella, too. You can barely catch him. Yes. You know, he's
absolutely.
He's out there. And speaking of voices to AgriTalk here, Dave Delaney. Wow.
Yeah.
Great chat there. Learned a lot about, and it's interesting, the fundamentals. When we go all the way to the end, I'm going to skip to the last chapter for both cattle and for hogs. We're going to want to leave this upside open here.
Yeah.
Is kind of where the marketing talk wound up.
Mm-hmm.
And on both, there were talks of expansion or the lack thereof. I wrote it down here. 2027 is when they expect cattle expansion to really begin to manifest.
You know, and when Dave said that, my first thought was, okay, you know, from a herd management point of view, that probably it makes most sense. You've got to get past 26 before mm-hmm. you can really start to put, you know, save heifers back, pull them out of the sale barn, and instead of putting them in the feedlot, put them out on pasture. And the trick is you got to have the pasture. Now, the moisture conditions have improved in cattle country, and it even sounds like there's going to be some wheat grazing going on this winter. So it's getting better. It's going to be really, really difficult for a feed. It's going to be difficult to make that female worth more on pasture than what she is in the feed yard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. You take those 1,500-pound heifers and run them to market right now, they're $3,100, $3,200.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pass that up to put a heifer on pasture that you're going to have to wait a full year before you get a calf? And then after that, you're looking at 18 months before you get a check for the steer that you're selling. Well, mm-hmm. as a fat steer, as a slaughter steer. So there's a long ways to go before we see any T-bones on a plate from expansion in this beef herd.
Yeah.
It's a long ways off. And now we're tightening up supplies of cattle coming out of Mexico because of the new world screw worm.
That's just a
funky market.
Yeah, it really is. Well, and then going back to the hog side of things, when we're talking about production, sow numbers don't have to go up in order for total pig numbers to go up because of pigs per litter. That's an interesting little quandary. We're getting too good at making pigs, I guess, Chip.
Yeah, if you hold the number of sows in the breeding herd steady, you will have 1% to 2% more pigs per year because of the gains in productivity in the farrowing house. It's been going on for a long time. But we went through a period of time where there was a setback because of PERS in particular, and it pulled that number of pigs saved per litter down. Now we're back above the trend that we were looking at before that setback because of PERS. It is a remarkable trend that we are in there, no question. Okay, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, December 2nd through the 6th, has got below normal temperatures in the Corn Belt from eastern South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas to the east. We are looking at below normal temperatures. Below normal precipitation in the central and southern Corn Belt. That's going to include southern South Dakota, near normal to above normal precip in the northwest production areas. 8 to 14 day, we're pushing the below normal temperatures to the east, and we've still got below normal precip expected in the southern half. All right, thanks for listening this afternoon. Come back tomorrow, 10:06 Central. We got a farmer forum for you here on AgriTalk.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Purchase new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts today and we'll install them for free. See better and drive safer with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So this new dose is... Nope, that's not it.